everyone, and welcome back to Her Podcast. I'm here with a very special guest today.
Hello.
This is my friend Stephanie Alessi, and she's a singer,
songwriter, speaker, I guess.
Songwriter extraordinaire. Yes, and we met, how long ago did we meet now? I think it's been five years ago we met. Yes, and I feel like it was like an instant kinship, not only with you, but with your brother.
Oh, yes.
Because we just understood each other on a PK, growing up in church, doing all of this, all of our lives level right away.
Yes.
And when I was thinking of people that I would like to have on my podcast, I thought of you instantly because I was like, this is just going to be such a good conversation. I've heard people say that conversation is an art. Yes. And not everyone is good at it, but I've had such good conversations with you, so I'm excited.
Likewise.
Thank you.
I'm pumped. Thanks for having me. It's exciting. Thank
you. So when I wrote you last week, it was like last week now, I remember that I didn't want to box you into any topic because I didn't want to tell you, I want you to talk about this or I want you to talk about that because I trust you so much and our conversations are so good. So yeah. I remember that I asked you, what is something that God's been laying on your heart lately? What are you passionate about lately? And you instantly responded
with purpose. The purpose topic and the waiting season. What's the purpose within that waiting season? That's just been pretty much everything I'm thinking about, talking about. We released a song, if I can just jump into it.
Yeah,
cool. We released a song like about 2 weeks ago, God of Purpose. My mom and I, we are part of Metro Life Worship, which is our church's worship team. And we released the song, and it's all about the waiting season, finding the purpose within that waiting season. Because I feel like everybody has their own version of a waiting season. Everyone does, whether it's a single one, a infertility season, it's waiting for the job, waiting for a calling. Everyone has to go through a waiting season. No one is excluded from it. No one's exempt. You have to go through it. But that waiting season has so much beauty to it if you really try to search for the beauty. Yeah. So I've just been circulating around that idea for weeks now, and I love that topic because I had my own waiting season. I found a treasure within that waiting season. You did as well after me hearing your story. My brother did. He's getting married this week, so it's really beautiful to watch people walk through that season and then come out on the other side with not only a tangible blessing, but a lesson learned and another aspect of God that they got to see during that waiting season. So that's just been everything I'm singing about, talking about.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story?
Sure.
What was your waiting season? What was the waiting season for you? And how did you feel when you were in it? And how do you feel now? Well, I don't know if you're completely out of it, but as you're gaining that perspective of what God can do in your waiting season, like, what does that all look like?
Okay. So my waiting season, it was short, but I would say it was meaty. It was hearty. I was single from like 20 to 24. And it was a quick single season. Like, I know girls that definitely went through longer single seasons, but I had come out of an interesting season where I was living out of town. I was serving at another church, and I loved that church. It was the biggest blessing I think I got, but it was time for that season to change, and I wasn't ready for it to change. I was like stuck in my ways. I wanted to stay. I wanted to serve there, but God had different plans. So I moved back home, and I got back into serving my church, and I was very stubborn. I was a little bit of a brat at the time, honestly, and I just didn't want any of it. I was like, no, I don't want to be here. I want to be doing my own thing. I want to have my own calling. But it was a humility. It was a humbling season along with the waiting season. So it was like killing two birds with one stone, and it was all God. Because I feel like I just had to really shut my mouth at times. I had to feel I was wrong in so many different areas. My vision was off. And I think it was just I had myself at the forefront of my mind and not God. So it was definitely a season of just being humbled and then waiting for God to show me what it was he wanted me to do. And because of that humility, I just made church my everything. I was single, so there wasn't any boy to take care of and there wasn't any relationship to take care of. So I had this philosophy of like, the church and the bride, I pretty much said, that was my boyfriend. That was my life. That was the relationship I was going to take care of. Mm-hmm. I was going to be there whenever they needed me to be there. I was going to help out with whatever they needed me to help out with. I'll be there from 7 a.m. to midnight if they need me to. But that is my sole focus, because I was just in this mindset of, I got everything so wrong before. I want to get this right. I really want to get this right. And I want to make better choices. I want to use my time more wisely. And what better way than to sow into the church?
Yeah.
So I was at the church every single day, serving the church. I started writing songs for our church. I was putting together teams. I was working alongside our church members. I just jumped in. I jumped in fully. And then I started to realize, like, gosh, this waiting season is not supposed to be a dormant season. It's an obedience season.
Yes.
So I replaced waiting with acting in obedience, because you heard me. I'm not a dormant girl. I like to do things. I like to be in action. I like to put my hands to the plow and work. I really do. So the idea of waiting was like, oh, but that's so boring. Like, yeah. I can't do that. I want something to do. And then it was like, okay, well, I'm acting in obedience. That's what I'm doing. So I just made obedience my number one thing. Whatever my dad, which was my pastor at the same time, whatever he wanted me to do, I'm going to do. If I needed to serve my mom, my brothers, I was going to do it. And then I started to realize, like, obedience is such a treasure to learn in that waiting season. So when I realized, if obedience is something that I've uncovered, like it's hidden treasure in a waiting season, what else can I uncover? What other treasure can I find? And of course, I was like, a boyfriend would be nice too.
Like, let's uncover that.
Let's uncover a boyfriend. That would be really cool. But then I was like, no. There's things for me that I can uncover.
Mm-hmm.
A girl that I can become within this waiting season, you know?
Yes.
So I uncovered and I uncovered, and I started to get involved at school. And if you know me, I hate school with everything in me. I was like, literally, that was my weakness. I hated it. But I was like, hey, this is an open door to me. I'm on campus 3 times a week. Let me just figure out what I can do at school. So I got involved in a Jewish club.
Interesting.
Yes, I love Judaism. I made Jewish friends. I don't know what it was, but I was like, hey, this door keeps opening. Let me just get involved. I got involved with a Jewish club on campus. And sooner than I expected, I became the Christian chairman of the Jewish club at FIU. And I just was helping out with events. Like, it was nothing. It was so simple. And being a church girl, you know how to put on events. That's like the easiest thing. So I was like, yeah, I'll help out with whatever. Well, because of that, I was gifted a free 2-week trip to Israel, because of the service I did through FIU. And I was like, well, there's the the hidden treasure that I uncovered, a freaking 2-week trip to Israel for free.
Because there's blessing in obedience.
There's blessing in obedience. So that was another thing that I was like, wow, okay, this is so God, that if I just keep on sowing into the season, God's going to reap a harvest for me. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing it. And then, of course, God, after like a year of that, I went to Israel. A year later, we went into quarantine. And then I was like, okay, this is weird. I'm still single. What's going on? And now there's no chance of me meeting anybody at church or at home. And then I think the latter part of that waiting season ended with me being introduced to an incredible guy. His name is Chris Molina. He's amazing. And it was very quick. We met each other. We pretty much knew this was it from the start, and 6 months later we got engaged. And we got engaged, and now we're 4 months out from getting married, and we're celebrating my brother's wedding this week. And this entire waiting season of me just really, it wasn't I'm sowing into myself. It wasn't that. It was, I want to sow into God so he can grow me and I can become the woman of God he wants me to become. And he did. And honestly, because of that, I do feel like God gifted me with this incredible man of God that I get to marry. And it was a beautiful season. I know there's a new season on the horizon, that it's marriage season. That's going to be a whole new topic, whole other podcast. But it was that season of waiting and singleness and obedience was, I wouldn't trade a minute. I wouldn't trade a day. Wouldn't change a thing. It was really the biggest, the best season I could have walked through. It really was. Yeah.
And there's so much that we can learn from that story. Just listening to you, I feel like, well, I'm a preacher at heart, so like four preachings jumped out at me. But I want to focus on one in particular, because I always tell my girls here in Segadores YA, I always tell them, never chase a person, chase a purpose.
Yes.
Because when you're chasing a purpose, when you're acting out your purpose, when you're living out your purpose, two things are happening. Number one, you give the person who's going to find you an opportunity to find you at your best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any guy wants to find a girl sitting there like, you know, like posing, waiting. Like, what have you been doing all this time? Just waiting for you? Just all dressed up, nowhere to go.
I've done nothing. I have no money.
Yeah, I have. Exactly. I have no money. I have no savings. I have no dreams. I have no ambitions. I have not a single school credit, but I've been waiting here for you. That's, first of all, a turnoff.
Yes.
And then second of all, you don't prepare yourself. If you're chasing a person, you don't make yourself whole. And I had my husband on the podcast last, and one thing that we benefited from greatly is that we don't believe in the whole, like Hispanics, we say media naranja, you're the other half of your orange.
Oh,
like
yeah.
that's to say, like my other half.
Yeah.
We don't believe that you need another half. You need to be whole. And come to a relationship whole and have the other person come whole. And I remember a few weeks ago, I was preaching on singleness to my girls here, and I used the example of Ruth. So Ruth, when she comes into a single season, she was actually widowed. So imagine all the pain and the hurt that comes with that. She comes into the single season, and what her mother-in-law tells her to do very wisely, which I think every young girl should have a mentor that encourages her to do exactly what Stephanie said, to go out and do.
Yes.
She tells her, listen, go out and work the fields.
Yes.
Don't chase a person. She didn't tell her, look for, you know, look for this, look for that.
You're
she said,
so right.
Go out and chase a field, and you don't know who's going to see you. And it says that she did so well. The story of Ruth says she did so well that people would talk about her, and the man of her dreams actually had to ask people about her because of how good she was.
Yes.
And I feel like your story reminds me of that, because of course someone is going to take notice of someone who is fervently serving God, someone who is not sitting there chasing a person, but chasing a purpose.
Oh my gosh, I know. I remember during New Year's, this past New Year's, we were talking to one of our friends who is really like a mentor to me and to my boyfriend, fiance. Fiance is such a weird word. So my boyfriend, soon to be husband. And we were talking about New Year's resolutions. Like, you are such an incredible mentor. What's your New Year's resolution? And he responded with the greatest bit of wisdom that I'm going to use every year now for New Year's resolutions. And he was like, you know, I don't write down things that I can do and achieve. I write down character traits that I can adopt for me to then in turn do those things. Like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym every single day, but I've never practiced self-motivation
or
discipline. I've never practiced that. So how do you expect to be going to the gym every single day from one day to the next if you've never practiced discipline? It's more of, who are you becoming? Who are you trying to be? And it's, again, I think that there's a fine line between that self-care, which can be a little selfish and a little self-minded, and then there's, Lord, humble me. Make me who you want me to be. There's like, it's a fine line, but humility is the missing component because you really have to say, I just want to be the woman of God God wants me to be. So teach me discipline. Teach me motivation. Teach me ambition. Give me dreams that I can fulfill. Introduce me to people that can teach me discipline. Mm-hmm. Like, it's character traits that's real self-care, because you're actually growing into a woman that can help you achieve so much more. Mm-hmm. And then imagine the inspiration you alone can be to people, not the things that you achieve, but just who you are. Who you are as a person, your heart, your personality, what you've grown to become, that can inspire, I think, my opinion, that can inspire more people, and that can attract the right man of God than tasks or achievements. Because achievements are going to come and go. You're going to make a lot of them. They're easy to make. They are, especially in today's day and age. You can get 1,000 followers overnight. You can start up things so easily. It's so easy to buy a website. But to actually become a genuine, godly, disciplined Proverbs 31 woman, that's a whole other feat. that not a lot of women are really chasing any now nowadays.
And it doesn't come with the wedding ring.
No.
And that's what a lot of people, I think so many girls in their single season, and I made the mistake of doing that for a time. You are chasing the wedding ring. You are chasing the boyfriend. You are waiting for this boyfriend. But you have to understand that very quickly, it happened to me also, like within 6 months, I knew that he was the one. I was a full adult. I want to first of all say that.
Yes, me too. I'm 24.
14-year-olds are listening to this. But yes, I think the more mature you are, the better you know yourself and the easier it is for you to identify, this is a person that goes well with me. And also I spoke to my husband again last time on the podcast, and I said, and we were talking about how being emotionally mature, you're just ready to make those decisions quicker. But it happened very fast. So just like you said, I know there's another season on the horizon. You go from being single, like even if you have the longest single season in the world, you sometimes go from being completely single, only looking out for yourself, to looking out for your husband. And now you have a marriage to nurture very quickly. And if you don't have a foundation, if you don't have that Proverbs 31 foundation, you're not bringing Proverbs 31 into your marriage. Like, it doesn't come with the wedding ring. Yes. When you get married, and this is something you'll see too, and marriage is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I'm not the kind of person who ever, you know, marriage is so hard. It's like, it takes discipline, but it's not, you know, it's not martyrdom. Like, if you're married to the right person, it's so beautiful and so great. But it does take humility and it does take patience. And the same humility and patience that you didn't want to have with God, you're not going to want to have with your husband, who is flesh and bone. If you couldn't have it with the God of the universe, you're not all of a sudden going to be like, yes, I'm so emotionally mature. You know, anything you need, honey, like, you're not going to have it. So we need that time. Sometimes waiting seasons, one thing I had to learn in my waiting seasons is that sometimes it's a gift.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a gift where, like you said, you can develop character traits. You can develop, you know, you can accomplish things. I remember I went through a season of infertility where during the time I would just cry and cry and feel so sad and so broken and so much like a failure. But then after, fast forward, I have 3 kids and I look back and I'm like, thank God I was able to write that book, because I can't do it now.
No, you can't.
You know, like right now. Like, not that I can't write a book ever again, but I'm in a season right now where I'm not really trying to do that. Ugh. I don't have the time. I don't have the bandwidth. So it's so true what you say.
No, I, my mom, she always used to tell me, Steph, I know you don't really like being single, but when you are out of the singleness season, you are out. It's done. Mm-hmm. No more singleness.
The rest of your life.
The rest of your life. And you're only 24. If you make it to 80, 90 years old, I'm shooting for 100, my personal. But really, I'm only 24. Like, the rest of my life is going to be with this man, with my kids. So these 4 years, some girls have been single 10 years, okay? 10 years is a blink of an eye. Or just one little
drop
snap
in the bucket.
Yeah. Compared to the rest of your life. And you're right, though, because I used to think, oh, no, I'm going to get so much done. My life is not going to slow down once I get engaged or once I get married. I'm going to keep chasing forward. There's a part of that that's true. Mm-hmm. Like, being ambitious, I'm sure you know, I'm still going to get things done.
You don't give up. I
don't give up. It's an addition to my life. But I think that the thing is, I don't want to just get up and leave anymore. I want to be with him. I want to be planning a wedding. I want to be in this next season. Your desires change. Yeah. They really do. So take advantage of the desire that you have right now. If you have that desire to travel or to write a book or to finish school, take advantage of that. Because once a man comes into your life, or once that career does come, or once the child does come, all you're going to want is that. You're not going to want what you have back when you were single. Mm-hmm. It completely changes.
Yeah. So there's a time to take advantage of it. Did you ever, or what advice would you give to somebody who's like, I'm in this single season, but I'm dealing with sadness? Because that happened to me where, you know, I was just remembering now as I was talking, where it was like, there was this tangible palpable sadness, and it goes mm-hmm. back to what you said at the beginning, that no one's exempt. But I think sometimes when you've been serving God, or even if you've just been a good person, you think you should be exempt. Yeah. Like, you know, you're like, there's drug dealers. Like, for me, it was like, there's drug dealers out there. Not drug dealers, drug addicts out there having babies and leaving them on doorsteps.
Yes.
Why can't I have a baby? Or I'm sure you saw, and you're like, girls are walking out on their good, faithful husbands. Oh. Why can't I have a husband? So what were some things that helped you keep perspective and keep positive and just keep at the fight, even when maybe you felt sad?
Man, there's so many different things. I actually will say, if I had to go back in time and do that entire season over again, I would lessen my time on social media 100%. Mm. For me, the comparison thing was a big deal.
Yes.
And it wasn't an insecurity. I think it was exactly what you said, like, this girl she's not even a Christian. How did she get married like that? Or how is her music blowing up? For me, it was mm-hmm. so hard to compare to the music world too, because I was writing, I was working my tail off, and then a girl would put out a song and it had a million streams overnight, and it was like, what on earth? I just worked so hard. Like, what's going on? So the comparison thing is real, and I wish I would have just taken a break off of social media for like at least a year, you know? And waited until I was really, really confident in myself to go back on, because that sort of just like chipped away at my confidence slowly without even me knowing. So yeah, if you really, really are struggling with it, even if you run your business on Instagram, just get off.
Yeah, post and get out.
Post and get out.
That's what I try to do.
Yeah, and don't go back and look at old people's profiles that used to be in your life. Just don't do it. Friends and exes, like, just don't do it. Get out of the past. Move forward. I wish I would have looked in the mirror at myself more and said, move forward, move forward, move forward. Just let go of the past, really. Mm-hmm. And anything that ties you to the past, just cut it out. Just be abrupt with it and cut it out. Because even if you have to block a number, I know that I understand that, like, a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's not grace. That's not having grace for somebody. I totally understand. And I think there's a gracious, godly way of doing that. But if it is really tearing away at your faith for God to do something greater in your life, that's when it's worth blocking numbers, not answering, not responding to text, and getting off of Instagram. I really believe it. Yeah. Because it made that season so bitter. It made me bitter for a season. Mm-hmm.
And I experienced the same thing. And one thing I'll say about that grace, we do need to be gracious with people, but I think also we need to know where the line is between mm-hmm. having grace with people and trying to be someone's savior. Because at the end of the day, I don't need to be my ex's Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, if my ex is going through a depressive season and it's hurting me, I have to have the boundaries to say, well, you know what? There's something called the Bible and Jesus Christ and your family. And I can even give you the number to a therapist.
Yeah.
But I can't be that person for you. And I think that's where a lot of people blur the lines between Christianity and actual Christ. We're not called to actually be Christ. But we're going to take a 5-minute break right there, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Stephanie Alessi, and our team Metro Life Worship just came out with a new single called God of Purpose. Go get it today. It is out on all streaming platforms. It's out on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes Music. We have a few videos for you to watch on there. Go watch it. God of Purpose. We know it's going to bless you and minister to you, and we hope you guys love it.
All right, and we're back, and I want to keep on going where we were going, because I loved that you were transparent enough with us to talk to us about feeling a little bit bitter, because I experienced that. And I would say the same thing as you. I would go on social media, and I would be like, I remember at the same time, and she knows this, I love her so much, my friend Stephanie, but I remember at the same time that I went through not only a period of infertility, but I lost 2 babies before my actual, you know, and I remember the second time I had a miscarriage. It's like not even the first miscarriage, but the second time I had a miscarriage, my friend who gets pregnant through osmosis, you know, she's one of those girls. She was pregnant. She got pregnant with her third. And I remember she didn't know. It wasn't her fault. But I was with her a lot at that time. We're very close friends. She just lives out of town now. But, you know, she would say things sometimes like, oh, my husband just looks at me and I get pregnant. Or like, or she would be like, guys, you know, this baby wasn't really planned, but, and it would just, so every time I would like open social media and I would see her or I would see someone else or other people saying the same thing, like accident baby number four. And I'm like, accident baby number four. I'm just trying to have a number one. I would like, I'd be tempted to get bitter. I'd be tempted to be like, God, but why? Why do other people get three and I don't get one? And I'm sure somebody probably looks at me and says it about me now. But at the time I was, you know, it was sad. It was hard. So what do you have anything else that helped you through, like just cut through that bitterness and be able to see fruit?
Oh my gosh. That happened all the time. And I think what was so funny was like, I wasn't even looking for a husband. I just wanted a boyfriend. I was like, is there anybody decent enough to date? Like that would just come up and take me out on a date? And there was nobody. And then there would be girls that would come, and I don't mean to judge. It's not judgment, but it was like, they didn't like sew into church like I did. And it was like, God, I'm here. Yeah. I'm serving. And they would be on like 3 dates a week. And it's like, oh, I broke up with him. And it would be a great guy. And she's like, but I really like this other guy. And it was another great guy.
So many to juggle.
I know. It was like, how did you even find one? Like, there's nobody even within 20 miles from where I live. Like, what's going on? So, for sure, I was so bitter. I think you have to get rid of the, I've always thought we always keep a record of wrongs. Like, how the Bible says love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Well, in turn, you can't keep a self record of rights.
Yes.
Like, where you write down every good thing that you've done. You can't do that. Husbands aren't earned. Like, boyfriends aren't earned. It's a timing thing. It is when God wants to bring that man into your life. And it could be 5 years. It could be when you're 18 years old. Or it can be when you're 30, almost 40. Like, that is God's decision. And if you want to get rid of that bitterness, what always happened to me was, of course, I would always pray, God, get rid of the bitterness. And within that day, I would just somehow get into a conversation with a girl who was going through a way, way, way worse season than me. And I would say, okay, Lord, thank you for all you're doing for me. Thank you for the family I'm a part of, the job you've given me. Thank you for my singleness. Thank you. And to find the gratitude would just immediately demolish the bitterness, because There's that the bitterness is really just focusing on what you don't have and how much you deserve what you're waiting for.
Yes.
And that's just not fair to God. When God has such an incredible plan for you and you're focusing on the small little thing that you don't have yet, that's just not fair to the God who loves you so much that he has this whole plan mapped out for you. So you just have to take a step back and start to thank God for what he's already doing. Even if you have to search for things to be grateful for, that's what true gratitude is. And looking for the things you don't even pay attention to every single day. Thank you for the food you give me. Thank you for the house I'm in, the apartment I'm in. Thank you for my mom, my single mom, my single dad. Thank you for my step parents. Thank you for my new brother. Thank you for this new job you've given me. Thank you for letting me clean my bathroom. Like, literally, find things to be grateful for. And talk to other girls and hear what they're going through. I remember I was like, I want a boyfriend and I'm so sad and lonely. And then I would talk to a girl and she was like, yeah, my dad's an alcoholic and I can't stay over the house tonight because he's just binge drinking and I have to call the cops. And I was like, what on earth? I've got it really, really good compared to what another girl may have. And maybe you're listening to this and you do have it really, really bad. And it's so easy for me to say I come from a very healthy family, but I don't know the situations other girls may have. I want to make that side note. But even I will challenge you, even if you do have a very, very rough situation with a parent at home that's struggling or you came out of an abusive relationship, you really want to submit that to the Lord. Find help, seek help, go to your leaders at church and find that help. But still look for something to be grateful for. I think it was the prophet Elisha when he went to the widow with the one son. And he had the faith to tell her, fill up all of your jars with oil. Mm-hmm. And that was a big ask because she was a widow and she only had one son. She was completely alone and she had nothing. But the prophet still had the faith and the courage to ask her to still have faith, to still look for something to be grateful for and still to create room for God to move. So just want to add that side note because I don't want to be, you know, ignorant of those situations.
Yeah. And I want to add on something that you said, or I want to revisit something that you said. You have to have trust in God's plan for you, because even in that story of Elisha and the widow, it would have been so easy for the widow to say, are you kidding me? You're asking me now to give up my oil? Like, and I went through so many times with that when I was like, are you kidding me, God? And when at the end, I had to realize that sometimes your waiting season is God's protection.
Amen.
Sometimes your waiting season is part of God tailoring your story to you.
Amen.
Everything that God has for you, he doesn't have it in the same time or in the same way as another person, but you have to trust God enough to know that it's the best for you.
Yes.
You know, I trust that I did not get pregnant, you know, 2 years before or 3 years before that I did, because, and this was something that God revealed to me. I remember when I was going through this season of infertility, I was like, God, why? I remember I gravitated towards the story of Anna in the Bible, or Hannah in English in the Bible.
Oh, yes.
Samuel's mom. And she went through 19 years of infertility. It doesn't say that in the Bible specifically, but when people have studied it more, that's what their guess is, that it was between 19 and 20 years, because that's usually how long it took for a man to take on a second wife. Jeez. If a man took on a second wife, it's because he basically was saying, she's not going to be able to do it. I can't put all my eggs in this basket. Literally, I have to start looking out somewhere else. And I was like, God, but why? And I identified with her because I was like, she's Christian, her husband's Christian, they pray, she's faithful with her offering, she's faithful going to church, she's sowing into the church, like you said. I sow and I give. And I remember that the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, if she would have gotten pregnant before, it wouldn't be Samuel.
Yes.
And Samuel wasn't just what Hannah needed.
Yes.
Samuel was what my kingdom needed.
Yeah.
And I remember the Lord told me, the son that you're going to have and the children that you're going to have, my kingdom needs them to be born when they are.
Amen.
Being who they are.
Yeah.
With the exact DNA, because, you know, even every month, our eggs are different. Our children would be different depending on what month we get pregnant. And that gave me so much peace, because I was like, okay, God is not making me wait to torture me.
Yes.
He's making me wait to give me the baby that is for me.
Yes.
And now I look at my son Levi and I'm like, I wouldn't change a thing. I would not want you to be anyone else. I'm so glad that you're you. And it even reminds me of when I'm fixing his breakfast in the morning. It's so funny because I used to laugh like when people would use their kids as examples for God. But you really do see a lot of it now. Like now I do. I'm like, wow, like I really. But even this morning, so he wakes up every morning and the first thing he says when he wakes up, he says, I want pancakes. Like if I don't feed him every day, like he has to make sure I know.
I understand that. Levi. I love that.
So but here's the thing with Levi. While I'm making his pancakes, almost every day he's crying the whole time. Like if I don't feed him every day, he gets pancakes every day because that's what he wants every single day. But he's crying the whole time. And I have to tell him, Levi, I always end up bringing you the pancakes. Like, you know I'm going to bring them to you. But a lot of times the reason why he has to wait is because they're hot. When they come out of the, you know, when they come off the pan, they're hot. So sometimes I even show it to him and I'm like, look, you can't have your pancakes because they're hot. Touch them. They're hot. I'm protecting you from getting burned. And no matter how hard you cry, I love you too much. You know, maybe if I was a little bit crueler or a little bit, I don't know, maybe a little bit stricter, maybe I'd give it to him and be like, here, burn yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think there does get to a point, you know, the Bible says if we insist enough in our sin, God leaves us to it.
Yes.
So I think there are some people out there with boyfriends or with girlfriends that God is like, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
But I love him too much to want to do that. I try as much as I can to wait, you know, and to show him you got to wait because they're too hot. And I say all of that just to say that sometimes waiting seasons are protective seasons.
They
like, think really about all the guys that could have taken you out, that could have cheated on you, that could have made you cry, that could have acted indifferent with you. Wasn't it so much better in the end for you to be like, okay, now I just found the right guy?
Oh my gosh. We actually talked about it a couple weeks ago, my boyfriend and I, fiance and I, and we had said, even if we met 2 years earlier, we would not have started dating or gotten engaged until it was time. Because I was like, he's older than me, so I was like, what were you like at 25? And he's like, honestly, I was never in Miami. I was out. He's very adventurous. So he was like, I was in the Everglades. I was out in the ocean. I was literally on a boat. I was in the Dry Tortugas. Like, you wouldn't have seen me. And I didn't care about dating. I was just having fun. I was adventurous. Like, he was focused on achieving the next adventure, not getting married. Yeah. And knowing me, I would have been like, why aren't you paying attention to me? Like,
yeah.
Please, like, I like you.
Do you even like me back?
Do you even like me? And it would have destroyed it. So, like, thank God that we waited. But I love that you mentioned the Hannah story, because that's pretty much our family story, where my mom, I love her story of her waiting season, because she was infertile for 5 years, and she was really praying, what the heck, Lord? Like, I serve your church. I'm here every single Sunday. She got married young. It was looking right. Like, of course, even for a young girl, fertility isn't seen as a problem. But it was really like the Lord said, you are not getting pregnant until I allow it. Hmm. And now looking back at my brother's life, her firstborn, Chris, if she had had Chris a day earlier or a day later, it would not have been the right timing. Yep. And my grandfather, so we're three generation pastors, all in Miami, Florida. My grandfather moved from New York, lived in Miami, built a church here in Miami, Kendall, like in the heart of Kendall. My father was then raised up in that church, and then he started his own church in Doral. My brother was about 5 years old when they did that. And now my brother has grown up, and he's getting married, and he's now pastoring the church over here. And it's incredible to see that my brother, if he was a year older, he probably would have met another girl, and it would not have worked out with him and Rochelle. If he was any younger, he would not be ready to get married, and we would be waiting another year. And it's beautiful because my grandfather this year passed away. He passed away in October, and my brother got engaged in July. And my papa would have completely missed that, or my brother wouldn't have even gotten engaged if the timing wasn't right. So your waiting season, I have now learned, my mom's waiting season wasn't even for her. The blessings were for her child and now her grandchildren.
It's generational.
It was for my grandfather so he could see the name carrier of Alessi to get engaged. And my grandfather, he got a glimpse of his promised land. He got to see the Alessi name's going to be passed down. The pastoral legacy is going to be passed down. And then he got to go to heaven with that promise fulfilled. And now we get to see it and we get to watch it. And he gets pictures. He has pictures of my grandfather at that night. Hmm. So your waiting season, as hard as it is for you, you have to lay it down because it is so not for you. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. It's for your grandparents. It's for your parents. It could even be for your nieces and nephews or your great nieces and nephews. You have no idea what that waiting season is for. And if you could just take yourself out of it, and if you could serve others, just like you got involved in the church, you served your church, you served the kingdom, you served the body of Christ. If you can just lay it down, continue to put it on the altar and serve God, God remembers those things.
Yes.
He remembers those things. And you're serving your legacy. You're serving your, just think about it. It's for your grandkids. It's for your children. So I love that you brought that up, that story of Hannah. It's crazy.
And I don't want to finish without talking about God of Purpose, because God of Purpose is a song that you wrote that came out of your waiting season, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about how real the lyrics are? I love when I talk to somebody who is not only a singer, but they're a songwriter. So you know that when they're singing that song, they mean it and they feel it.
I feel it. The song really, I thought it's really a testimony of how God can use the little things in waiting seasons, because I really thought that song was nothing. I thought it was cute. I thought it was just a nice little uplifting song. I had no idea that it would make the impact it's made so far. And it did come out of a waiting season. And I wrote it partly for myself, but also for my sister, who was going through that same thing. She was looking for her calling. She was looking for her purpose. She couldn't really seem to click with anything. So I wanted her to be encouraged and to know that although there's so much conflict and so much confusion in the season, there's so much purpose. Mm-hmm. And you're there for a reason. And yes. Same thing with you. You could be in a season where it does not feel like God is in it at all. Mm-hmm. But God's right there alongside you. And you have to be thankful for the testing. You have to be thankful for the trials that you walk through. Be thankful for it because God will bless that. Anyway, we were both going through that season of like, what's going on? What are we meant for? What are we made for? So I wrote that song during that season. And the verses just talk about how I'm going to embrace the unknown. I'm going to walk through every door. I'm going to embrace every opportunity the Lord has for me in this season because you never know what can come out of it. And then it goes into, you have me right where you want me to be. You're the God of purpose. You have me in the perfect place. I've always loved songs that remember who God is and they name out who God is. Like Waymaker's yes. an example of them. Waymaker, mm-hmm. Miracle Worker. And for this one, I wanted to remind my soul and my spirit of who God was. And he is a purposeful God. Yes. He's an intentional God. He doesn't waste a moment. He doesn't waste a second. He doesn't waste one battle you're in. He uses every little battle. He uses every season that you're in. He uses all of it. He doesn't waste a thing when you walk in the will of God. Mm-hmm. So I wanted it to be a declaration. And yeah, I'm an Enneagram 8 on the Instagram. I'm an Enneagram 8, so I love to declare things and demand things and to make known of things very clearly. So that's what my songwriting's all about. I don't want to be doubting anything. I want to be sure that this is who God is. And then the bridge, the bridge really, God is so good. He gave me that bridge sort of out of nowhere. It was behind the stage of our church on like a Monday, right before we were going to have a young adult service. And the Holy Spirit dropped that bridge into my spirit. And it came out within 10 minutes, not even. And I really thought it was nothing. But then we went into the pandemic like a year later. And we were singing that song during the quarantine with our church. Our staff came together and we were just singing it together as a staff. And the lyrics were so perfect for the pandemic season because it was life may change, the whole world may change, but you are never changing. The days may roll, but we know you're still working. And the days literally rolled during quarantine. Yeah. It was like, where are we going with this? But we know he's still working. Help me see the plan for the season. And on your word, there's no better foundation. And it just makes me want to cry because it perfectly encapsulates what my waiting season was, because my prayer was, help me see what the plan is for this season. But as you show me what the plan is, I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand on your promises. I'm going to dive into what your word says about me, about purpose, about you, about my church, about what I'm supposed to do. And I'm just going to wrap myself up in that alone, in his word. And searching for his purpose. So the song completed itself and God really helped me write that song. We started singing it for the church and with the response we got, I was like, what on earth? I was not expecting that. But it was beautiful. The song just impacted everyone. It really helped us through the quarantine season. I was going to release it in October, but that was the month that my grandfather passed. So it was like, I'm going to listen to that. God is a God of purpose, so I'm not going to release it at that time. So we released it just a couple weeks ago on February 5th, and since we've released it, we've gotten incredible responses. Like, God really chose the perfect time for that song to release, and it's out for everyone to hear. I really pray it ministers to you. I pray it does exactly to you what it did to me when I wrote it, and that was just, it reminded me of who God was and how purposeful he is. So, yeah.
Well, I've told you before, you're one of my favorite artists.
Thank you.
You really are. I don't say it to Thank suck you. Up, but you really, really are. And I want to encourage everyone to go right now and download God of Purpose and download everything, Stephanie Alessi, because it really will bless you. And thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me. This was a blessing.
Thank you for being so transparent. You really are always so transparent when you speak to our youth, because we've had her come a couple times and speak to our youth, and when you minister to us, and
your
friendship is a blessing to me.
Yes, likewise, Vanessa. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me. It's a blessing.
We'll see you guys next time.